Welcome to another episode of Too Much Pod Tar, as we get another one for you today. Back-to-back days as I try to actually, you know, do some daily episodes here as the season gets closer. I'm thinking of doing, you know, daily episodes every day during the season. Even if it's just like a quick 10-minute episode, you know, going over some DFS picks for that day, or, you know, recapping the day before games, or looking forward to the games that day, anything like that. But yeah, I'm excited. We're in February, so looking forward to the season. But for this one, I got Joey Ricotta returning. I'm back in the hosting chair for today, as he hosted yesterday. And then also Johnny Black returning. So welcome to the show, and how are you guys doing?
Good, man. How are you doing? It's good to be back again.
Doing good, man.
Yeah, that's good. And, you know, we talked about before the show about the snow that we have going, the storm that's going through. So we're kind of hunkered down right now. And I'm obviously going to have to deal with shoveling out tomorrow. But, you know, for now, we're just have time to record some fun things here.
He's got too much pine tar.
Sloppy jalopy. They were doing the Chris Davis fishing for it.
Might be going to call George Brett out.
Well, he is. He's out.
Yes, sir.
Brett is out. Look at this. Brett is out.
He's teaming back.
He is out and having to be forcibly restrained from hitting plate umpire Tim McClellan.
Too much pot tar.
way too much pot tar.
So for this one, we're going to be actually going down our top 10 fantasy catcher rankings, kind of an early look at them. It's February 1st, the day we're recording this. And we can look at some other guys outside the top 10, you know, some sleepers, even some busts. I was thinking of doing this, you know, backwards order, starting with the 10th and then going to the number 1. I mean, obviously number 1 is probably the same for everybody, but yeah, my 10th guy, I actually have Dalton Varsho from the Diamondbacks. He made his debut last season. He didn't perform too well in the shortened season. He disappointed, but he started trending upwards towards the end of the season. You know, he had all three of his home runs September 4th on, and then also during that time frame, 822 OPS. His K rate dropped to 24%. It was up higher, I think around 27% before that. And then also had a 12.2% walk rate. And he was hitting the ball hard at a 38.2% clip. So I think he can definitely break out. A lot of people are looking at him as a potential breakout for this year. And he's also outfielder eligible. So that's a big thing too. So if he's, you know, the Diamondbacks obviously have Carson Kelly, so as well. So he probably split time there. But when he's not catching, he can also play outfield. So I'm looking at him as a kind of a later round flyer if you don't want to go with one of the top guys for catching, because catching is always a tough position to go with in fantasy. I don't know. You guys have any thoughts on that pick?
I like that pick, actually. I like Varsho. I totally forgot about him, but I do like that pick. I mean, the 10th guy I have on the list is Danny Jansen. from Toronto. I mean, the kid's young. He's still only, I think, 25. You know, and with the lineup improved as it is, you know, we're getting Springer in there and everything like that. I just think from a fantasy perspective, I think he's going to, even batting seventh or eighth or whatever you bat, you know, even at the bottom of the lineup, I mean, I think that lineup is deep enough. And you look at the ballparks they play in the American League East, you know, the fact that the pitching has kind of been watered down now in the American League East. I mean, there's no Paxton, no Tanaka in New York. There's no Snell, no Morton in Tampa Bay. You know, Baltimore is a dumpster fire. They're basically rebuilding. So, I mean, I think Danny Jansen, if he's going to break out, 25, 26 years old, I think this is the time to do it in that lineup, in that ballpark, the ballparks they play in and the pitching he's going to face for most of the year. Danny Jansen, I'd put it in my 10th spot.
Yeah, I like that pick too. That's a solid guy. Joey, you have your 10th one.
I guess I could give you my 10th guy now. I do like the Varsho one. I was debating on putting him 9 or 10 or just outside of it. I guess I don't know. He's like right in that range for me, but I think who I'm going to put 10, it might be a little bit surprising just because he doesn't give, like, too much power anymore. He's not really that kind of hitter anymore. But I feel like if you're playing in batting average leagues or even on base percentage leagues, he gives you that too. Buster Posey. I know Joey Bart's not far away, but I still feel like Posey's going to give you – he's going to get at bats. He's going to play first base a little bit too. You know, I still think he can be a pretty good contributor, even if he plays in a terrible ballpark. He doesn't have much pop left anymore, but, you know, he didn't play last year. But, you know, I think people are just forgetting about him just for that reason. And, you know, he had a 257 average in 2019, which was, you know, really low for his career. I mean, that's not really typical Posey. And I don't think he's quite done yet. So I feel like, you know, right around 10, as far as the rankings go, I don't think that's too much to ask for him, even if he gets not as many at-bats as he was when he was younger, you know?
Yeah, I like that. I could see him doing some solid things this year, you know, especially coming back from, you know, sitting out all of last year. So, yeah, move on to the ninth catcher that I have. I had Austin Nola of the San Diego Padres. He's got a 160. He's at around a 163 ADP as of now. You know, he kind of regressed a little bit when he got traded over to the Padres last year with the like he was definitely performing or hitting a lot better when he was with the Mariners. But he went down to like a 222 batting average in 19 games after hitting 306 in 29 games with the Mariners. But you know, he also still had a 343 expected Woba, so you know, some of that could have that was with the Mariners. I mean, so some of that could have to do with, you know, he was just hitting above what he was and he kind of regressed back, but you know, he's still a solid guy. The Padres, especially that Padres lineup, I think he'll be able to have some, you know, he obviously has guys around him that are going to perform, so I think he can definitely take advantage of that. So, I can see him putting up some good numbers this year.
Well, you took my guy, Alex. I was just going to talk about Nola, too.
Oh,
I definitely have him in the top 10. He's kind of borderline for me, too. Yeah. I mean, as far as the top 10 go, because I also had Posey at like 11. So Joey just touched on him too.
Oh, damn. Because
I think one thing with Posey is too, is that Randy Belt's on the last year of his contract. And if he gets moved, Posey's going to see a lot more time at first base. So Posey's going to get more playing time than most catchers.
Yeah.
If you figure he's going to get 130, 140 games, a lot of catchers get 110, 120, you know, especially if they have a solid backup. So Posey was definitely a good one. But I had Nola there too. I just think Nola, like you said, like in a solid lineup like they have and everything like that. I think last year moving over to San Diego, just a little bit of an adjustment. And it's hard to look at 2020 and put too much emphasis on it. Yeah, you can see some guys made improvements. Some guys took steps back. But I think especially in the half a year that Nola had, it's just a matter of going from the American League to the National League. And I think it was an adjustment. I think that he's a professional hitter. And I think he's going to have a solid year there in that lineup.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I wasn't sure where to put Nola. I was like debating on him like in the same range, like that 9 through 11, you know, 12 range. It's so hard to kind of pinpoint once you get to that area. I feel like that's kind of like my hardest spots right now is like that area, cuz like I don't know. I guess for me, like the 9 spot, I'm wavering back and forth here because I like Nola and I like James McCann. McCann obviously coming from the White Sox to, you know, going to the Mets now, and he's going to be in a good lineup as well now with all the retooling that they've done there. And, you know, he's really been a pretty solid hitter for the White Sox. He just hasn't had consistent of playing time because, you know, obviously they made the signing with Grandal last year. But, you know, he's still played a pretty decent amount of games, and the Mets went out and got him to be their starter. And, you know, he had an OPS close to 900 last year and with a .289 average, which obviously is short in the season. But, you know, we know how hot he started the 2019 season, too. I think McCann, I would put McCann at 9, and I don't know. Can I put two guys at 9? Like him and Nola are like those. They're like real close to me, I think, right in that range.
Yeah, I think they're pretty close for me too. So, I mean, but let's move on to number 8. My 8th overall is going to be Gary Sanchez, actually. You know, he had a bad season last year. And, of course, we said, like, can't put much stock into a shortened season. And he still hit the ball pretty hard. He was, you know, 50% hard hit rate, which was top 8% of the league. 17.4% barrel, top 3%. So he's always going to have that power upside. You know, he's struggled with strikeouts, 36%. K rate, but you know, I think he just struggled with himself. You know, he just didn't have, he wasn't feeling himself the whole season, and I think he's going to be extra motivated coming into the year. You know, especially I saw just a couple days ago there was a quote from Brian Cashman saying, you know, actually it was Sanchez. It was like questioning why he was benched and everything. And Cashman was like, whether you were told directly, I don't care. You're pretty self-aware at that point. You had a horrible year on both sides of the ball. You lost your job in the most important time of the season, which is October baseball. I'm not sure an explanation is necessary. So I think, you know, with Cashman calling him out there, like really like throwing him under the bus pretty much at that point, I think he's going to have extra motivation. He's going to want to prove to the team that he can perform still, and he's going to work extra hard to, you know, get back to the 2018, 2017 Sanchez, even 2016 when he first came up. So, I really like Sanchez this year as a And, you know, eight is kind of, if he ends up performing as well as I think he can, he's eight is low. So that's, I don't know if that's a hot take, but, you know, I definitely see it happening.
Yeah, I like the Sanchez pick. I actually have him a little higher, but I'll go with my eighth pick, which is Carson Kelly from the Diamondbacks. He had a horrible year this year in a short season, you know, but the one thing that stood out to me is that in 2019, he had a 13.2% walk rate, which was impressive for a young player. In 2020, in the short season, it went down to 4.7. So I think he was pressing. And obviously, with the short sample size, you can't really tell. But I think if he brings that walk rate back up to where it should be and where it can be at 26 years old, I think Carson Kelly can definitely be a solid contributor. And he's going to probably bat in that lineup probably a little higher than a lot of catchers would. Like a lot of other catchers that we're talking about, I think Carson Kelly could bat fifth or sixth in that lineup, which would be higher than, say, a seventh or eighth for someone like a McCann or whatever, you know, in their specific lineup. Danny Jansen, who I mentioned before. So I'm batting higher in the lineup, fantasy, from a fantasy perspective, definitely helps. You get some more at-bats, more plate appearances, you know, more chances for RBIs and stuff like that. So I definitely see Carson Kelly could be a breakout this year. If he brings that walk rate back up to where it was in 2019, I definitely think he could be a solid contributor.
Yeah, I can see that. I like that pick too. Joey, you got yours?
Oh, are we on eight right now? That was eight, right? That was your eighth pick, Johnny?
Yeah, that was eight.
Okay. Eight, I guess. I have him lower than what I keep seeing. I keep seeing, like, I've looked at the ADPs and, I guess, consensus rankings from a lot of these guys. And I have this guy lower, and it's not really because I don't like him. I just, there's guys that I like more that I just don't see him paying off, especially where he's getting drafted. And I don't know. I could see these guys having better years, and we'll touch on those guys. But Travis d'Arnaud, I have him at eight. And d'Arnaud's been, you know, he's been hitting the ball well, and he's always been a pretty decent hitter. He's obviously dealt with, you know, some injuries and stuff with the Mets. But I just like some of these other guys that are going behind him, but I have ahead of him. Like, I think he's probably going to hit for a decent average, and, you know, the Braves lineup is pretty good too. Like the rest of the NL East is. It's just a crazy division right now, or it's looking to be like it will be. But, yeah, I've got him a little bit lower because I don't see him hitting 320 or whatever he did last year in the shortened season. I see him kind of hitting more like a, you know, I don't know, 265 kind of guy. And that's just why I'm a little bit lower. It still bring a little bit of pop maybe, but yeah, maybe like a 265 kind of guy and not necessarily a 320 type of hitter.
Yeah, I agree with that. I could see him falling off. I don't think, like you said, I don't think he's going to hit as high as at a high of batting average as he did last year, you know, especially with the shortened season, that those numbers, like we've mentioned a couple of times, they can't look into it as much. So he's actually, I do have him at my sixth overall guy. So I have him a little higher, but I still definitely like some of the other guys more, for sure. But my seventh guy I have is Christian Vasquez of the Red Sox. You know, he's going to be like the main, pretty much one of the main guys in that lineup now. you know, without Mookie, without probably not going to end up having Bradley, or at least not for the whole season. Maybe they'll have him at the beginning, but maybe they'll end up trading him at the trade deadline. But especially they're definitely gonna be rebuilding. So Vasquez will probably be one of the guys that is a consistent hitter in the lineup. He kind of had a pretty solid 2020. You know, he was .283 average, 7 homers. He also added 4 stolen bases. So he's definitely a good, solid value guy. You can get there, you know, probably later rounds. Because I think, let's see, his ADP right now was, what was it? 148. So it's kind of like borderline, you know, later rounds. So I think a lot of people are going to be sleeping on him, but I think you can take a flyer on him, because especially being the guy there, pretty much the guy in that lineup, I think he can do some damage.
Yeah, I like that call a lot, actually. I have him a little bit higher. Not much, though. I have him at 6.
Yeah, it's funny because I have Darno at 7 and Vasquez at 6. Yeah. So we're just like talked about these two guys. Like, yeah. I think Darno, I mean, Darno's got the pedigree. Maybe it took him a little longer because he's had the injuries, bounced around from Toronto to the Mets and, you know, stuff like that. And maybe he settled in with Atlanta. So I like Darno, but I agree with you, Joey, that I don't think he's going to hit .320 again. You know, but Tyler Flowers is gone, so he's also got full-time playing time in Atlanta. Yeah. You know, so the playing time might be a little more. And same thing with Vasquez. I mean, Vasquez, you know, he had an off year in 2018, but the past 2 years, when you combine 2019 and 2020, the guy's hit 30 home runs and hit 95 RBIs. So, I mean, he's gonna produce. And he's also, like you said, he had 4 stolen bases. He's had 4 stolen bases the last 3 years, and he had 7 the year before that. So, I mean, if he's going to give you in a full season, if he's going to give you like maybe 5 or 6, hey, you take that from a catcher.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Chuck that in there, man. You know, you get like 5 or 6 from a catcher and another 5 or 6 from a first baseman. Hey, man, take it where you can get it, you know?
Yeah.
So I would definitely agree with those guys as far as, like I said, I have them at 6 and 7. So,
yeah.
And that's another reason why, Alex, you brought up Dalton Varsho. That's a reason why he's a good pick, too, especially for a catcher. I think he just missed my top 10, but, you know, because he'll give you those steals. And I get he's pretty flexible, too, as far as where you can put him in your lineup, because – I think he's eligible in the outfield too. So,
yeah,
like even double dipping with these guys, like you potentially could draft 2 catchers in 1 catcher league if you got like a Varsho and a Vasquez or Darno or something like that. That would be pretty solid, I think.
Oh yeah, definitely. And even Real Muto is. He's at least in ESPN leagues, he's also first base and DH eligible. So he's a guy you can do that with too.
Mm.
But I mean, I don't think he is in Yahoo though, or any of the other leagues. I mean, any other platforms.
I didn't even know he played first base last year.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. That's it. That was kind of surprised when I saw that he was eligible for that. But
yeah,
I don't know. ESPN sometimes is weird with that stuff. I don't know. But what were we at? We're at 5 or what? 6?
6, I think. So we're at 7 still. We're at 7 still, right?
6? Oh, yeah. I don't know. Where we left.
I think we're gonna go. I think the next one was 6 and. Well, mine was Darno. Oh, okay.
Well,
I had Sean Murphy at 7. I don't know if you guys brought him up.
No, not yet.
I just think he hit the heck out of the ball last year. He's young, so he's been developing in the system. He had raw 60 grade power coming up. That was a scouting report on him, of course, and didn't really hit that many bombs in the minors, but he started to hit more like when he got to AAA. And last year, I mean, you know, I don't know how many he hit. I don't have it in front, maybe like 7, something. See a shortened season, but I mean, his hard exit velocity, everything was just looked really good. His batting average, you know, no, wasn't that good. It was kind of like in the Gary Sanchez type, like 230 range, but I just think he's a young player that, you know, he's going to get the full playing time too. And I think he can really surprise some people this year. I think he could, like, even if he could get his batting average to like a 255, 260, and he gives you, you know, I could see him hitting over 20 homers potentially. So that's, I guess that's why I have him at 7. And it's right there with like Darno. I think, and Darno would be like the higher floor guy, I think. But I really like Murphy's potential.
Yeah, actually, I didn't even have Murphy on here, but he was like right on the outside. I'd probably put him at 11 if I was going to do that. I don't know. I just, for some reason, I kind of overlooked him. I don't know why, but I definitely like
him. I did too. To be honest with you.
I think it's a lot of it is, though, his batting average, too. Like, and especially if you're playing in roto leagues, it kind of, it's easy to overlook him. Not that a lot of catchers give you great batting average, but I think it's easy to overlook someone like him because he's not, he just doesn't jump off the page, especially when you consider the team he plays for and stuff like that. He's just not really in the spotlight as much, I guess, you know?
Right. But, yeah, we're as we move on to 6th, I already said, yeah, Travis Darno was my 6th. Kind of already touched on him, but yeah, I don't think he's going to be able to hit as good as he did last year. Obviously, not. I don't think he'll be able to get to 320 or even 300 plus. I think he'll probably be sub 300, but even nonetheless, he'll be able to get production. He has the pop potential, so I think he can. And you know, that Braves lineup is definitely definitely stacked. I think he'll be able to take advantage of the stacked lineup in Atlanta.
Yeah, I had my 6th with Christian Vasquez. I think, I think 18 was an off year. I think he's, you know, he's got solid power. Plays in a good park. And like, just as I said about Danny Jansen back at number 10, you know, facing those pitchers in the American League East with those ballparks. I mean, you know, I think Boston still has a pretty solid lineup. Yeah. Their pitching is their big, you know, their big question mark. You know, how healthy is Chris Sale? And aside from him, who else you got? You know, so I think the lineup is fine, and I think Vasquez will be a solid contributor as far as home runs, RBIs, and he'll give you a solid batting average.
Yeah, that I'm in lock agreement with you, Johnny. That's my 6th guy too. I think I might have mentioned that already, but he's coming off of a season in 2019 where he hit 23 bombs, you know, so. And so I think he's more than capable of getting back to that level. It's not like his batting average was still pretty decent last year. He just didn't quite jump off the page or anything. But and I think the Red Sox lineup is actually a little bit underrated because of all the
the pieces that have left, like Mookie Betts and guys like that. I think they still have some solid guys like Bogarts and Devers, and JD Martinez had a down year. Of course, Devers didn't have a great year either. I mean, I think obviously their biggest problem is pitching right now, but I think that lineup is more than capable to wreak some havoc and could really set up, like you said, some RBI opportunities, and hitting some bombs over the green monster is when you're playing there, it's never really a bad, you can't consider it a bad thing for a hitter.
No.
Yeah, I mean, even with their younger guys, I mean, you know, if they bring up Dalbec, you know, and they got Chavis, you know, guys mm-hmm. like that, all power hitters. I mean, Boston's lineup is actually pretty scary. You know, Verdugo looks like he's going to be solid. You know, Benintendi can bounce back. You know, I mean, I don't know. Their lineup's not bad at all. It's their pitching that's going to be the big question mark, because they're going to, you know, the Sox win games this year. They're going to win games 10-8.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way it's going to happen. But, you know, but I think Vasquez will be right in the middle of it. And I think he's got definitely a shot to do what he did in 2019. Like you said, like 23 home runs, you know, good mm-hmm. driving, 75-80. Hey.
Yeah.
All day.
Yeah, from you a get catcher. That out of a catcher. You'll take that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my fifth one, I got Yasmani Grandal, the White Sox. You know, now with James McCann gone, he'll be getting, you know, he won't be splitting time with McCann anymore. He'll be pretty much getting the bulk of the catching duties. So that'll definitely improve his, you know, stock here for fantasy. You know, he's got the walk rate too. He's got one of the top walk rates, or he had one of the top walk rates in the league, actually the last 3 years. He had 15.5 last year. And then 2019 it was 17.2%. That was top 1% in the league. So he's definitely got a good eye. He walks a lot. So, and that he also, you know, he's got some power potential with 8 home runs last year. In 161 at bats, so yeah. And if, like we keep touching on too, with the lineups, the White Sox lineup is obviously going to be a huge threat. You know, with Abreu, the reigning MVP, and you know, even guys like Nick Madrigal, maybe potentially breaking out. You know, Andrew Vaughn coming up, so. Yeah, I like Grandal for this year for sure.
I'm gonna go fifth. I'm gonna roll with James McMahon. I like McMahon. I love the signing when the Mets did it, jumping the gun basically before Realmuto sweepstakes went on.
Yeah,
you know, and I really think McMahon is just a really good player, and I think he's never gotten his true shot to be the man, you know, and when he has had a chance to hit, that's what he does.
Yeah.
You know, and mm-hmm. I think it's going to take a little time. I think it's going to take a little bit of adjustment to get into the National League and stuff like that. But I still think McMahon's going to put up really solid numbers in that Mets lineup. I don't call it more of a feeling than anything else. But I honestly think he's going to be more of a value over the next 4 years than Realmuto will.
Yeah, and he handles the pitching pretty well, too. I mean, they were even going with him sometimes over Grandal, the White Sox, because of the way he handled certain pitchers. So I like McCann, yeah. I mean, I like that you're high on him too, because that makes me feel good, because he's like one of my favorite values.
Yeah, I had him a little bit low. Like, I had him outside my rankings, but not too far, like 12, 13. So, I just kind of, I don't know. I just kind of have a feeling he's not going to do as well as people think for some reason. I don't know.
Well, he's going to get a lot of, I mean, he's going to get all the playing time, basically. Yeah. I mean, they're going to, you know, they're going to work him, you know, and the defense will keep him in the lineup even when his bat slumps.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I just got a feeling about McCann. Like I said, call it a hunch or whatever, but I just have a feeling he's going to have a really good year. Not very analytic, but whatever. Well, I mean, you know, sometimes you gotta see something and you think that, like, you know what, this is going to work out. And hey, Johnny, that's the way I'm rolling with it.
Johnny, I'll give you some analytics though to back up your point. I mean, he had a 372 wOBA last year and a 47.8% hard hit rate.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, yeah, career highs. Play. And yeah. It's a small sample, but a career high walk percentage too. So I mean, career highs in hard hit, career highs in wOBA. I mean, like you said, I think he needs the opportunity. And plus, he's coming off of the 2019 season. He did that in 2020 in limited playing time, but 2019 where he was an all-star, you know, and then he kind of tailed off the second half of the season, but he started the first half of the season pretty hot, and I mean, maybe he is just like an early season kind of hitter. I don't know, but he, for whatever reason, you know, he seems to hit pretty well whenever he really gets an opportunity. So, yeah, I like McCann.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he'll. Like I said, thanks for backing me up, though, Joe. With the stats, because I don't
have gotta give you some, you know.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, I just think the kid can play.
It proves your point that what you're seeing is real, you know.
Yeah.
So I guess
of course sometimes the numbers are misleading, you know. Like sometimes we look at numbers a little too closely, but other times when you get a good feeling about a hitter and you see he's putting in really good at bats and things just aren't clicking, then that could be where some of the numbers are misleading. But like you get a good feeling about a hitter and you're like, man, he seems to hit the ball hard, he's playing well, and yeah, this definitely backs that up. Sorry, not to completely delay the
that's fine. You have anything else to say about?
No, I think we've blown up James Brand enough.
Oh yeah,
we can move on.
He got enough love.
Yeah.
You'll have to tag. You have to do hashtag LGM, so we can tag the Mets fans in this one.
Yeah. I have to tag Matt in this to say, like, oh, we're hyping up your team.
Yeah, right.
Hashtag Steve Cohen is God.
he deleted Twitter, though. I mean, can't handle Twitter. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, that's something for another pod.
Yeah, that's a whole other episode.
All right. I don't know. Probably don't even want to know.
Yeah, let's just move on to number four. so I got Will Smith for four for me. Of course, of the Dodgers, you know, not Will Smith the actor, but.
Well, hey, wait a second. We're passing up my five.
Oh, you didn't go? I thought you had. I don't know. I thought you went.
I had McCann at nine. But I was just saying, you know, that's why I like him. But at five, I'm actually in agreement with you. I have Grandal at five.
Okay.
And I really like Grandal because, like you mentioned, the walk rate and stuff. And I think just takes a minute to get used to a new team. And when you're playing in a short season like that, I mean, I hate that everybody keeps saying this, but it's so true, right? Like you play in a short season. he had no time really to get used to things, and he's learning a new pitching staff, and he's learning a new, completely new element over there in Chicago. I mean, it's not far from Milwaukee, but it's just a new ball club, new situation. I mean, I think Grandal can really hit, and he's playing in a good ballpark. He's just a good, patient hitter, great approach. Has pop. Like, I could see him hitting over 20 homers this year and, you know, being a force. So, and maybe even, you know, DH-ing a little bit when they want to give him some, give him a blow from being behind the plate all the time. So, yeah, I like Grandal. He was my fifth with you.
Wow, I like how we're agreeing on things. Like the last couple of days with our, you know, with our picks from yesterday, we agreed on. So,
yeah, I don't know how the other one's doing right now. Oklahoma,
that one's not until 9 o'clock Eastern. So,
oh, okay,
yeah. But anyway, that's for your pod. That's not for this pod. But yeah, mine. He's not from West Philadelphia, born and raised. Will Smith. he, you know, he's in the middle of another very good lineup. Of course, Dodgers lineup is one of the best in the league, if not the best. And he's hits the ball extremely hard.
Does he live in Bel Air?
But yeah, he's
how much the other Will Smith, the pitcher.
Oh yeah. I just lost my train of thought when I was. but yeah, he hits the ball hard. He also walks at a good rate. Well, last year he was 14.6% walk rate. 47.3% hard hit rate. So he was, you know, the last couple of years he's been kind of getting better, improving, and coming out and being even one of the better hitters in the Dodgers lineup. So, last year he was hitting like fifth or sixth in the lineup. So that says a lot about how good of a hitter he is as a catcher.
Is that your number four?
Yeah. So, yeah, he had eight home runs last year. 25 ribbies. So.
Yeah, I like Will Smith a lot, but I just didn't have him on my list. I tried to avoid all the jokes.
Yeah.
But now I have him probably like down at the bottom, like 11-ish, you know. I mean, like we said, like anywhere from probably 8 to 12, 8 to 13 is kind of, you know, it's a wash. Yeah. Basically, you can take anybody. For my number four, I have Joey's boy, Willy Contreras.
Mm. Yeah, still my guy.
Sorry, but he had an off year in 18. I mean, he had the one off year in 18. After a real good year in 17, he forgot how to hit a curveball in 18. I don't know. The off-speed pitches, just, I don't know. He didn't see them. But the last 2 years in 19 and 20, last 162 games, actually, he has 31 home runs and 90 ribbies. I mean, the guy puts up production. Granted, the Cubs lineup, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, with the guys that are leaving and their rebuild and everything like that, but Contreras might be on his way out also. Who knows? But either way, Contreras could hit.
Yeah.
So I think in a full season, playing a Wrigley, I don't see why this guy can't hit 25 home runs and drive in 80 runs. I mean, it's almost a lock. So I think his floor, especially, aside from the off year in 18, his floor is just as good as any other catcher's. So I would put him number four.
I went back and forth with who to put at four. Because to me, this 2-4 range is really similar. Well, 2-5 even. I could put Grandal in there too, but the 2-5 range is really similar to like the 8-12 range or 7-12, whatever, you know, that range right there. But at four, I did put Will Smith at four. But he could easily be two. Like, I think, you know, like you were saying, Alex, I think he's somebody who could give a little bit of pop. He, you know, when he gets the playing time, he hits. And we saw him come up pretty big for the Dodgers. So, yeah, I mean, and I think he adds, like, a lot of the StatCast stuff, a lot of these projection models just love him. Like, they loved him last year. When I was looking for daily fantasy, when we would do the pods the night before, and I would look, and I'd sort by position, and I'm like, wow, Will Smith, every day, he was popping up, catcher, Will Smith, towards the top, every day. And I'm like, these projection models, you know, eventually they're going to be spot on with these guys. Not all of them, of course, it's never going to be spot on with all of them, but I feel like Will Smith is getting close to hitting that proving the projection models right, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And I think he's, that's why I got him four. I know there's some guys that are higher on him, like even two, but I could see him finishing anywhere from in that range. I really like Will Smith.
Yeah, Will Smith is definitely one of my favorites. But and then moving to third, you know, as you said, you know, 2-5 is kind of interchangeable. So I kind of had a tough time figuring out where to put these guys. But I have third, Salvador Perez. You know, he's a guy who's always been a pretty consistent catcher for the Royals. You know, Royals are in the middle of a rebuild right now. But they're kind of up and coming. They got some young guys coming up, and so he's definitely going to be good for their young pitchers coming up. And, you know, he had a decent year. He had a pretty good year last year. You know, 11 home runs, 32 RBIs, 333 average, 633 slugging. So wasn't too bad of a season, obviously. So, you know, he's definitely going to come into this year be that same Salvi that we all know, so I think. So coming into his age 30 season, and obviously going to start, you know, seeing kind of seeing a digression soon, but I don't think it'll come this year yet. So,
yeah, that's why I didn't have Salvi up there, only because I think he's gonna take a step back. I think last year the short sample size again, I think, was an anomaly. I don't see him hitting 300. You know, yeah, is he gonna give you some power and drive him some runs? Does he hit in the middle of the lineup? Yes, he does. So I mean, I could definitely see it. You know, I'm not going to argue with that. The guy I had third is Gary Sanchez. I know he is for a crappy batting average. I understand that. But you got to understand, he had a 159 BABIP last year. 159 BABIP.
Yeah,
for someone who hits the ball that hard, that is just completely unlucky.
Yeah.
He had a 244 in 2019, and he had 34 home runs. In his career, he's hit a home run in every three games he's played in. Actually, a little fewer than three. I think he's got 115 career home runs in like 419 career games. So if you're going to tell me that Sanchez can actually have a semi-decent batting average, even 220, 230 and play 120 games, you're talking about possibly a 40 home run catcher.
Yeah.
I will take that all day long. In that lineup, if you have a healthy Judge, Stanton, DJ LeMahieu, Aaron Hicks, guys like that batting in front of him, give me that all day long. Give me a 40 home run catcher. So I think the upside is that, yes, the floor, yes, if he sucks in the first month of the season and they wind up benching him or sending him to Triple A, okay, I get it. I understand that. But the upside for Gary Sanchez, I think it is so high that I got to put him third because he's got more power than any catcher by far.
Yeah. That's, I mean, for me, the thing was I'm kind of like just cautious on him just because I've seen, you know, I've had high hopes for him as, I mean, obviously as a Yankees fan, I've wanted him to succeed. You know, I get, well, I mean, that's not really the same as other Yankee fans, though. Some Yankees fans have already kind of gave up on him, but I'm not one of them. I'm still kind of just cautious, though, just because I've seen him, you know, really give much over, you know, the last year, even the year before. He didn't really perform the greatest, but yeah, I think he'll come into this year and perform and, you know, stay healthy and stay in that lineup, you know, be consistent. I think he's definitely going to have extra motivation, like I said before. So, yeah, I like you have him that high. So.
Yeah, like I said, it's the ceiling.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the guys have the floor, you know, as far as like, okay, play it safe. But as far as ceiling goes, I mean, like I said, no catcher has more power than Gary Sanchez.
No.
None. So
yeah, it's not even close.
No, it's not really. I mean, he's the only catcher that really has 40 home run potential.
Yeah.
So that's why I put him third, is mostly because, like what Alex said before, Cashman calling him out. I mean, he realizes this is your last chance, buddy. This is it.
Mm-hmm.
You want to stay in pinstripes, you better bust your ass and make it work. So yeah. If that's what he needs, it lights a fire under him. Like I said, I don't think the guy's ever going to be a 290 hitter. But if he is 230, 240, with 40 bombs and 100 RBIs, tell me that's not a first-round catcher.
Yeah, I mean, even last year, like, look at it. Like basically, I understand the whole benching thing completely because it's like, you know, if you're not hitting well and you're not fielding well, what are you doing in the lineup? But, you know, even last year, hit 10 home runs in – you know, less than 200 plate appearances. So, I mean, Gary Sanchez, like he's, like you said, the power is just incredible. Like if he plays a full season, that's he's hitting 28 to 30 home runs. That's his floor. Like his floor, I think his floor is 30 home runs, honestly. He's going to give you 30
home runs. Yeah, a full season? Yeah. But oh, yeah.
If he plays a full season, yeah. And he's been, and here's a stat, he's been in the top 5% of barrel percentage each of the last 3 years, of top 5% of the league. So, I mean, yeah, like you were saying, he hits the ball harder than, and he squares it up, you know, when he's locked in, he squares it up and he hits the ball just crazy hard. So, like, I definitely see the upside for Sanchez. Like, I'm more willing to probably draft him in points leagues, I think. Like, he'll be like my points league guy. Like, I'm gonna get a bunch of Sanchez in points leagues, I think.
Yeah. That could end up being a huge steal, because, like, right now this ADP is at 170, around 171. So a lot of people are, like, not buying into him as much, but you know, if you get him late in a later round, he performs like we like breakout like we think. That's gonna be huge.
Yeah. Did you have, hey Alex, who did you have at three?
Perez.
Okay, so that was my guy. That's who I have at three too.
Wow, we're really in sync here, aren't we?
Yeah, do we have each of the last three?
I would.
We gotta break you guys up now. Like, there's enough of us.
I could have flip flopped with Contreras and Perez because honestly, I feel like Perez. I have Perez at two. Spoiler. Then you can guess who's at one. I don't know. I'm giving away my whole board now. But
well, I mean, we all have the same number one. So
yeah, I mean, I figured that's like the we're all in unison, right? Right there. So
yeah.
We got to break all of us up now. But no, I like Perez. He scorches the ball. Like, and he didn't even play last year because I think it was the Tommy John, right?
Yeah.
So he didn't play, or in 2019, excuse me. But last year he came back and just raked again. And, you know, I don't see him power-wise. It's like Gary Sanchez, not quite Gary Sanchez power. He doesn't have that kind of power, but he hits the ball extremely hard. He's not going to hit it for as high of an average as some of these other catchers, but he'll hit for a higher average, I think, than Sanchez with a little bit, so that he'll get a little bit more safety there, but with still like a good base for power. But I feel like you can almost safely say that he'll hit between like 250 and like 265 for Perez, which if you're going to give me, you know, 25 to 30 bombs, which, you know, it's not guaranteed, but he's definitely capable of doing that, and he's done it. I mean, he hit 11 last year, and he didn't even play in 2019. So yeah, as I really like Perez, and like, there's an argument to be said that I'm being kind of a homer when I don't put him two and I put this other guy two, but they put Contreras two instead. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Hey, look.
I know.
Look, I didn't have Mitch Garver anywhere in this list either. So I'm not trying to be a homer either. But no, but the only thing I want to say one thing about Perez, and I have like, I just can't with Perez. I don't know what it is. The dude doesn't walk. He strikes out. Like, he just, like, I don't understand how he just keeps doing it. Yeah, I know by this time, as playing fantasy baseball for the past 30-something years, I should know better, and he just does that. That's who he is. You know, because we said that about Javi Baez 3 years ago when he still hits.
Yeah,
like, right. You know, guys who just strike out, they don't walk. You're like, oh, they're going to slow down. I just don't know. I don't know how Sal Perez still does it. Getting to his age, playing a position like catcher and still being able to have the bat speed to just hit. Like, I just could never trust it. That's why I don't have him up there. Not that I don't have the respect and, like, he's a great catcher and all. But I just feel like one of these years he's just gonna die. Like, he's just gonna not die literally, but it would just fall off the cliff.
Yeah, like, it wouldn't be as funny if
that's literally. That's just gonna fall off the cliff, and I just can't bring myself to put him that high up. That's just on me, because you guys both have him way up there, and I don't have him on my top 10. So I don't know.
Yeah, the mileage is scary for him, right? Like, he's definitely caught a lot of games in his career.
That's the thing, too. He catches every part of the game. Things, he's like Yadi Molina. That's
the reason why I love him. He
catches like 140 a year. It's insane.
Yeah, he's got a risk there because, yeah, like you said, you're waiting for the bottom to drop. They're waiting for it to fall off.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I'm hoping for like probably like Alex is that maybe with that 1 year off, yeah, he had the Tommy John, but he was healthy otherwise, that maybe that saved his legs a little bit. And I'm thinking
I would doubt that. Yeah.
if he can get, you know, and maybe he doesn't, maybe they tone him back a little bit so he doesn't catch as much. But that's part of the reason why I like him too, because he's almost guaranteed to play so much that if he is healthy, you know, you don't have to worry about him sitting more than he needs to, like a normal rest period, like catchers do, of course. But you don't have to worry about him, you know, missing three games out of the week. He's pretty consistent to the point where he's going to play 3 to 4 games out of every 5, you know. So that's one of the reasons why I like him. But it, like you said, yeah, it's scary because you're wondering, like, when's Perez going to start, you know? And, like, you wonder why he doesn't get on base much. He doesn't walk much. But, yeah, he just hits the ball so damn hard that, like,
yeah,
he gets that average.
No, I hear your argument. Yeah. And I hear your argument. I mean, him playing every day. He catches every friggin' game. Like, so I get it. And I understand it. And I should probably have him higher. I just can't do it. That's just me. I bring myself to do it. Sorry.
It's like that it's one guy. You're just like, nope, not this
it's,
dude.
It's the one guy. Like, don't you guys, like, you do a fantasy baseball draft. Don't you go into the draft and you have a couple guys that you're like, I'm not drafting this guy at all. I just don't. And Sal Perez is one of them. For some reason with me, like, I always feel like it's just going to fall off. Yeah. I don't know.
I probably won't draft him much either, even though I'm ranking him this high, because I don't like I'm ranking Contreras higher than Perez. It's really for one reason, because I think that the ADP doesn't match. Like, you get, I was looking at the NFBC ADPs, and Perez is like 50 spots higher. He's going 50 spots earlier than Contreras is. And to me, you're getting like similar production from Contreras and a much better, he's much more patient. He gets on base more, so he'll score more runs as a floor, at least. I mean, you're going to get runs from Perez too when he hits homers and drives guys in and stuff, gets doubles. He's going to get runs, but like, you're getting that floor with Contreras, like a very similar production, maybe less homers, but could be a better batting average, and you're getting him 50 spots lower than Perez. So that's like the non-homer side of me saying that's why I like Contreras a little bit more in the rankings. But, like, yeah, I don't know. I like Perez, like you said, yeah, it's hard. It's like really hard to stomach, like, drafting guys that don't get on base much and don't have good patience at the plate or good, an eye for the ball. He's got great hand-eye coordination, obviously, because he smacks the hell out of the ball, but, you know, just not a very patient hitter, not a very, you know, he's not going to get on base much, so it's hard to stomach guys like those. Like Baez, like, everybody's like, oh, when's, like you said, everybody's going to draft him this early, and I'm not doing it, because we saw it last year, like, he really struggled, you know, so it's scary. It's scary. I'd be more willing to wait on catcher if I had to choose, taking Perez where he's going in drafts or waiting. I would definitely wait.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I usually punt catcher for the most part.
Yeah.
I'm not paying up to, like, a third round pick for JT Realmuto, though. Like, it's just not happening. You know, yeah. Like, I just thought I'll wait to the 20th round.
Yeah,
and draft Danny Jansen or like someone like that. You know, honestly, because it's really a hit and miss with catcher, because it's really hard. Catcher is such a position that it's so volatile.
Mostly miss,
you know, and it's mostly yeah, and yeah. Most of them just stink. Most catchers just don't hit. I mean, it's like they're really not hitting football. Anything. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. This is like tight end in football. You have Kittle and Kelsey, and then what? Really?
Yeah.
And every year, then sometimes you get the Darren Waller or the Hockenson or the Fant or whatever. Like, you get here and there, but who do you have? I mean, back in the day, back in the day, it was, you know, it was Tony Gonzalez and Jason Witten, Antonio Gates, you know, like it was the top couple guys and everybody else. So if you didn't get those couple guys, you might as well punt it and just stream it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the same way now. Like you said, it's a perfect example. Catcher is like that, just like tight end. You know, you have the one or two guys that you can count on the floor. The other guys, hey, you hope for a Mitch Garver 2019. You know what I mean? Like someone, you know, some guy you pick up that's going to hit 30 home runs.
Yeah, definitely.
But other than that, yeah, it's mm-hmm. it's hit and miss.
Yeah, so, yeah, obviously my top or my second was Contreras as well. So Joey already touched on him a lot.
Stop looking at my sheet, all right?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I have, like, I was hacking into your computer.
Yeah.
Guys,
an email.
What?
I don't know. I'm going to have to separate you guys.
looking at my Russian emails.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't have Contreras at second. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were different. You were very different. That's good.
I'm different. I'm different with this one. I had Grandal.
Okay.
I still love Grandal. I think
that's
the great year in a new league. Took him a second. In OBP leagues, he's the man.
Love him, yeah.
The dude has such an eye at the plate. He's a switch hitter. He's going to play every day. I mean, a backup is Zach Collins, really. Yeah. I mean, you know, he's going to play all the time. McMahon's not there to back him up anymore. They're paying him all this money. He's going to catch all the time. You know, like I said, he's a switch hitter. In that lineup, what the White Sox have going on there, pitching staff loves him. I don't see, you know, like I said, especially in on-base percentage leagues. Yeah. Oh, man. Dude, he's 25 home runs, 90 walks. You know, he's just solid all the way around. And he's been very consistent. If I'm going to the Dodgers, to the 1 year in Milwaukee, over to Chicago, like he's very consistent. He can DH, so he can fill in there and get an extra couple games at DH. You know, I just think Grandal is like, you know, we talk about floor. Like I said, I went Sanchez third because of the upside and the potential. But I think with the top guys, you got to go floor. And I think Grandal gives you the best floor.
Yeah.
Aside from, obviously, who we all have at number one, Real Muto, but...
Well, it's crazy to me. Sorry, go ahead.
What are you talking about? I have Jacob Stallings number one.
Dude, oh, Stallings? I thought you had Austin Hedges. My bad.
What, are you looking at my sheet?
I have Austin Romine.
Oh, yeah.
Even better.
I got him taking Contreras' spot.
Benji Molina still playing?
Yeah.
How about Chadwick Trump?
There you go.
I didn't even know how to say his name for the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
On that
but
note,
there was.
Sorry.
We can get back to making fun of catchers' names and backup catchers in a second, but what we were just talking about, Grandal, or, you know, wasn't it just last year that the first and second pick in, like, every draft out of catchers, the first and second catcher taken, wasn't it Real Muto and Grandal?
Yeah. Like, I think
we're not that far removed from him being, like, a consensus one or two pick, you know? So that's why I said two through five is such a, like, that's like a tier to me. Like that two through five, like in my rankings, are like a complete tier. Like it could go either way, and like I'll just take whoever's going the latest out of those. Because like if I want one of them, because like Grandal, It's just the shortened season and playing with the new team and him having not as great of a year that pushed him down in the rankings. Like, there's no reason why he can't be the second or even the first overall fantasy catcher. You know, maybe Real Muto has a down year after getting the an extension. You know, we don't know. So,
yeah,
Grandal, yeah, I could see him being the second overall easily.
Honestly, in on base percentage leagues, I may pick Grandal first.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would.
The dude walked, and that's something that's consistent. See, that's another reason, like, I don't like someone like a Sal Perez or, like we said, like a Javi Baez. Like, a guy who swings at everything, doesn't walk a lot, you're subject to the balls in play. So if you have an unlucky season, the BABIP doesn't go your way, you're screwed. Something like walks, something like plate discipline, like Grandal has, that's consistent year after year. So if you play in on a base percentage league rather than, there are a couple leagues that I play in that's OPS.
Yeah.
And honestly, in an OPS league, I'd probably take Grandal over Real Muto, to be honest with you. It's close.
No, I would. I absolutely. I don't even think it's close to me. I would take Grandal over Real Muto.
Yeah, because it's a consistent one league skill. I'm in,
that for OBP, it's a dynasty league. It's my favorite league to play in. It's an on base percentage. It's the only on base percentage league. I might do like one redraft a year or something that's on base percentage, but this dynasty league, like, that's, yeah, no, you're 100% right. Like, Grandal is like the main OBP catcher that you want.
Yeah,
for sure.
And that's why, like, someone, like, I always remember for years, I think it was 3 years in a row, I drafted Carlos Santana. Because I'm not gonna pay the premium for like Goldschmidt or a Votto at first base. So if you're not paying a premium at first base and you let it go and you get your middle infielders, you get your outfielder, you get your pitchers, Carlos Santana always fell to me in like the 12th round.
Yeah.
I'll take the 100 walks a year. I mean, we're talking about an OBP. The dude is lock for 20 home runs, 80 ribbies, 80 runs, and a 400 OBP. Like, I mean, you know, he did what he did. I always drafted him. And it's the same thing, like you said, like with Grandal. It's like, because it's so consistent, you can predict it year after year. Whereas guys like Sal Perez, Javi Baez, guys like that, it's hard to predict. Especially if you're playing in an average league. Because 1 year, the guy could have a 350 BABIP and hit 290. And then the following year, his BABIP drops to 300 and he hits 250. Then where are you at?
Yeah.
Whereas the guys who walk and have the eye, like a Grandal, like a Santana, guys like that, Anthony Rizzo, you know, they're consistent. The stats are consistent. You can kind of bank on certain things. And when we talk about floor, that's exactly what we're talking about. Is at worst, you're going to get this. So at least if you draft that guy a little later on, you know exactly what you're getting. Whereas someone like, you know, the guys I mentioned, plus even like Gary Sanchez, who I put third, you don't know. He could hit 25 home runs and hit 150. Who knows? You know, but it depends on what you're looking for in your draft, too. Are you looking for floor? I think it depends on where you draft. Like, what round are you drafting these guys in? And what are you looking at? Are you looking to have a floor? Did you draft guys with a lot of upside but a lot of downside, like an injury history early in the draft? That maybe you want to mitigate that. You know, it all depends on how your draft goes, too. You know, if you get floor with your first few draft picks and you get guys who are solid, then maybe you want to take a chance on a Gary Sanchez. If you're not getting guys like that, if you guys getting guys with upside in the third, fourth, fifth round, Maybe you want to take a guy with a solid floor, someone who's been consistent for the past few years. You know, that plays into it too.
I can't wait till we get to sleepers.
Yeah.
I can't wait. This just goes like directly into what you're saying.
Yeah. It's funny because Posey was one of my sleepers. I actually wrote him down as one of my sleepers just because, like you said, he sat out 2020, hit 257 in 2019. I mean, I just think that with the year of rest, like you said about Sal Perez, he had the year off. You know, he bounced back. He had a great year last year, and even in the shortened season. I think Posey might, you know, I know San Francisco's a tough place to hit, and their team stinks. But I don't know. He might get a lot of playing time behind the plate. And if they trade Belt, who's on the last year of his contract, to get some more playing time at first base till the end of the season, and they bring Bart up, Posey could get back to like a 280, 290 and hit you 10 home runs, drive in 70. That's not too bad for a guy that probably is – you could probably get in like the 25th round. So,
right.
You know, not horrible.
No.
Yeah, he's definitely a sleeper. I think I have him like higher in the – I'm higher in the rankings than I feel like a lot of people – and it sounds like you are too, like higher on him than a lot of people. Like they just forget about him. They're like, oh, this old man, like, you know, and he didn't play last year, so there's nothing. A lot of people just like looking at the last season, I guess I should say, stats, and they don't look at the full body of work, and they don't take these other factors into account, being you know, fresher legs, stuff like that. Like, yeah, dude, I think Posey's gonna have a. He's gonna have a solid year, especially in Roto, man. And he's an on base guy too. Like he's a good on base guy. So I mean, he'll be solid, I think. Especially for like you're a like catcher punter, I guess I should say, or like you punt the position. Like he's a good pick, I think.
Yeah, I think this is gonna help a lot of people like who really do their research and really do the, you know, all the studying and everything, as opposed to people who were kind of half-assed into the fantasy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's going to be a big difference because of the half season last year, because of guys like Posey who didn't even play and stuff like that. I think it's going to be to our advantage, you know.
Definitely.
Oh yeah, I think on that note, I think we probably should get this wrapped up. I was actually thinking, you know, sleepers. We didn't really get to that, but we kind of ran over the time I was thinking we could do. But I was thinking actually with sleepers, maybe we can do a pod for all positions. Just talking about all sleepers for any position. So that would be. I think that could be interesting to just do that. Like at the end of when we finish doing all the positions, if you guys are down for that.
Works for
me. Yeah, I'd be down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So.
Hey, can I just give you a name for a sleeper, for a catcher?
Yeah. Of course.
Let's give you a name just so it's fast. Omar Narvaez.
Oh, I like that. I like it.
Yeah, I won't go into too much depth about it, but second highest walk rate of his career last year. Never struck out higher than 20.2% clip prior to last year, but he only had 126 player appearances. Ground ball rate wasn't extremely high. Second highest fly ball rate of his career. But he struck out a lot last year, and that's not really what he does. But he had 22 home runs in 2019, so he's not that far removed from having a good season. He was with a new club as well in Milwaukee. It was almost it's basically Grandal, but like going to Milwaukee and struggling. Yeah. So Narvaez and late. I like Narvaez late.
Yeah, I like that. So if you want to hear more on Narvaez, listen to the sleeper pod coming up. You know, after these rankings, all these positional rankings come out. So we'll be continuing these. You know, those are catchers, top 10 catchers for this upcoming fantasy season. You know, as we get closer, there'll be, you know, a lot of people will be doing drafts coming up shortly in a couple of weeks, probably. So, yeah, we'll be doing these. Hopefully we can do, you know, first base, probably first base next, and then continue on going to second base, obviously third, short, and the outfield, and then pitchers. So, yeah, it'll be fun to do this, and then we'll also be doing articles on the Primetime Sports Talk site, so keep an eye out for that. And as always, thank you for listening to this pod, and of course, just a reminder, you can never have too much pod tar.
In West Philadelphia, born and raised, on the playground is where I spent most of my days. Chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all cool and all, shooting some b-ball outside of the school. When a couple of guys who were up to no good started making trouble in my neighborhood. I got in one little fight and my mom got scared and said, you're moving with your auntie and uncle in Bel Air. I begged and pleaded with her day after day, but she packed my suitcase and sent me on my way. She gave me a kiss and then she gave me my ticket. I put my Walkman on and said, I might as well kick it. First class, yo, this is bad. Drinking orange juice out of a champagne glass. Is this what the people of Bel Air living like? This might be alright. I whistled for a cab, and when it came near, the license plate said fresh and it had dice in the mirror. If anything, I could say that this cab was rare, but I thought, man, forget it. Yo, home's the Bel Air. I pulled up to the house about 7 or 8, and I yelled to the cabbie, yo, home, smell you later. Looked at my kingdom, I was finally there to sit on my throne as the Prince of Bel Air.